Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. At that time, you may press star one on your phone to ask a question. I would like to inform all parties that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn today's call over to Benjamin Hayes. Thank you, sir. You may begin.
Thank you, Denise, and thank you all for joining us for today's update on CDC's monkeypox response. We are joined by Dr. Jennifer McQuiston, Deputy Director of CDC's Division of High Consequence Pathogens and Pathology, and Captain in the U.S. Public Health Service. We are also joined by Dr. John Brooks, Chief Medical Officer in CDC's Division of HIV Prevention. Both will provide opening remarks before taking your questions. I will now turn the call over to Dr. McQuiston.
Thank you. Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for your interest in this multinational monkeypox response. The CDC has been collaborating with public health partners in multiple U.S. states and several countries to help investigate the monkeypox outbreak. As of this morning, there have been one confirmed monkeypox case and four confirmed cases of orthopox virus in the United States. Orthopox viruses are the family of viruses that includes monkeypox. Because we confirmed one and there are four additional orthopox cases, we expect to receive samples on the other four cases today or tomorrow for further characterization. For the purposes of this response, however, healthcare providers should assume these are monkeypox and manage them as monkeypox cases. In case you're wondering why testing is done in two stages, our state laboratories, which are those that are part of the laboratory response network, have tests that can determine whether a patient's sample has evidence of orthopox virus. Confirmation that a patient has monkeypox would then be further done at CDC, and we work closely with the state labs to request samples so that we can perform that testing. I want to emphasize that we're in the early days of this response. It's likely that there are going to be additional cases reported in the United States. The CDC is poised to help our state health partners learn more about how the cases are occurring and how we can help bring these outbreaks under control. I want to give some background on monkeypox. It is an illness that is characterized by a rash with skin lesions that can be concentrated on certain body parts, or it can be spread more widely across the body. The strain and the identified cases, both in the United States and globally, is West African strain, which is milder of the two strains of monkeypox virus. Most people who are infected with monkeypox recover within 2 to 4 weeks without specific treatment. This disease typically occurs in a handful of countries in West and Central Africa, and during the past 5 years, we've seen a resurgence of monkeypox in Nigeria. The outbreak that's been ongoing for several years in Nigeria has led to 9 cases where travelers have returned from Nigeria to their home countries and then later found they had monkeypox. But what's different about what we've been seeing around the world in the past 2 weeks is that most cases do not have recent travel to Nigeria or to another country where monkeypox would normally be found. Some do have travel to other countries in Europe and Canada in late April and early May, and we're actively working to try to connect these dots to identify how the cases are spreading between countries. One of the things we're announcing today is that CDC worked really quickly to sequence the virus from the Massachusetts patient, and within 48 hours, we had determined that it closely matched the sequence being reported from a Portugal patient. We immediately shared this information publicly on the database NCBI last week so that the rest of the world can compare it to their sequence data. This process previously took up to 2 weeks, but we were able to get it posted within 2 days because we feel like this kind of public sharing of early sequence data is going to be important for all countries to do so that we can all better understand how the virus is spreading across the globe. Now, people can become infected with monkeypox through close, sustained skin-to-skin contact with someone who has an active rash or through respiratory droplets in someone who has lesions in their mouth and they're around another person for an extended period of time. What we're talking about here is close contact. It's not a situation where if you're passing someone in the grocery store, they're going to be at risk for monkeypox. So the primary people at risk are going to be those who spend close physical contact, time in contact with someone who already has monkeypox. And those would include people like family members or healthcare workers who are caring for someone with active infection. The United States has a strong preparedness program that ensures we're ready to respond to smallpox, which was declared eradicated in 1980. Because monkeypox and smallpox viruses are related, these tools can now be used for our monkeypox response. There are two vaccines and one antiviral that are approved for smallpox by the FDA. One of those vaccines, with the trade name of Genios, was approved for the prevention of smallpox and monkeypox disease in adults 18 years of age and older who were determined to be at high risk for smallpox or monkeypox infection. We have mechanisms in place to ensure that these products can be used for people with monkeypox that may benefit from them, and we're working now to develop recommendations to ensure that the vaccine supplies that we have are available to those who need it and that doctors can use it to decide what's right for their patients. During the past 50 years of our experience with monkeypox in Africa, we've learned a lot about the virus, but I will say that we're learning even more with this outbreak. We've seen over the years that often the best way to deal with cases is to keep those who are sick isolated so that they can't spread the virus to close family members and loved ones, and to follow up proactively with those that a patient has contact with so that they can watch for symptoms. These are called contacts, and when contacts are looking for symptoms, the minute they start, they can isolate from others and see their doctor, and that's how the outbreak can be stopped. These are basic strategies that we use in responding to outbreaks all around the world, and they work. And most patients with monkeypox will recover on their own within 2 to 4 weeks of their first symptoms. Now I'd like to turn it over to my colleague, Dr. John Brooks, who is a medical doctor and chief medical officer in CDC's Division of HIV Prevention. John will provide information about what people in the groups that may be impacted by this outbreak should know, given that most of those in the global context identify as men who have sex with men. Over to you, John.
Thanks, Dr. McQuiston. And hello from me as well, everybody. And thanks again for joining us today. So as Dr. McQuiston just reiterated, anyone can develop and spread monkeypox infection. But as Dr. McQuiston also noted, many of those affected in the current global outbreak identify as gay and bisexual men. We want to help people make the best informed decisions to protect their health and the health of their community from monkeypox. So I'm going to take a few minutes and share some things the LGBTQIA+ community can keep in mind about the current monkeypox situation and things to know to help prevent monkeypox. Awareness of this reality is critical to empowering people to make informed decisions about their personal health and the health of their community. First, and as I've already noted, monkeypox appears to be circulating globally in some parts of the gay community. Second, as Dr. McQuiston noted, monkeypox is spread by close personal contact. Monkeypox is not a sexually transmitted infection in the typical sense, but it can be transmitted during sexual and intimate contact, as well as with personal contact, and shared bedding and clothing. Again, anyone can spread monkeypox through contact with body fluids, monkeypox sores, or respiratory droplets when close to someone. Third, if you have a new or unexplained rash or other symptoms, see your doctor or seek medical attention and evaluation. And if you don't have a doctor or health insurance, you can visit a sexual health clinic. Fourth, if you seek out medical evaluation for possible monkeypox, remind the healthcare provider caring for you that this disease is being observed in other parts of the world right now, with a notable fraction of cases occurring among gay men. Importantly, don't hesitate to advocate for your health and inform your doctor of your concerns if you think you might have been exposed. Fifth, I want you to know that CDC is working to provide frontline health providers and public health officials with information about what the infection with monkeypox looks like and how to manage the illness. In some cases, during the early stages of illness, the rash has been mostly in the genital and perianal areas. In some cases, it has produced anal or genital lesions that look like other diseases like herpes, chickenpox, or syphilis. So anyone with a rash or a lesion around or involving their genitals, their anus, or any other place that they have not seen it before should be fully evaluated, both for that rash, but particularly for sexually transmitted infection and other illnesses that can cause rash. Remember, infectious diseases don't care about borders or social networks. Some groups may have a greater chance of exposure right now, but by no means is the current risk of exposure to monkeypox exclusively to the gay and bisexual community in the U.S. We hope that people will use this information to protect their health and, in the case of providers, the health of their patients. I want to thank those people who've been coming forward to seek medical attention, and also thank the LGBTQIA+ community and their medical and community service providers for helping us and our efforts to raise the visibility of the current situation and the steps people can take to protect their health and the health of others. CDC is committed to keeping the public and the gay community abreast of this information as the situation evolves. So I'd like to turn it back to Dr. McQuiston now and take your questions. Thanks.
Denise, I believe we are ready for questions.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Please limit your questions to one question and one follow-up question. The first one comes from Eben Brown with Fox News. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. Eben Brown from Fox. Thank you for doing this today. My question would be for either of our two panelists here. What steps do you take, or what research is being done to determine that this is not something that isn't naturally occurring, which is to say to be assured that it is something that is naturally occurring, that this isn't, dare I say it, something leaking from a lab or something even worse, maybe intentionally distributed somehow?
Hi, thanks for that question. You know, all the evidence that we have to date suggests that the monkeypox virus that is circulating in these communities is closely related to the monkeypox viruses that we've seen circulating in West Africa over the last several years. The sequence data that we have from the Massachusetts case, which matches the sequence data from the Portugal case, shows they are very closely linked to the viruses that we've seen out of West Africa. I also want to point out that the routes of transmission that are likely at play here are biologically plausible, and we know that close personal contact can spread monkeypox. So all signs point to this being an outbreak associated with person-to-person spread.
I'll just add that this also isn't coming out of nowhere. This disease has been circulating in West Africa for some time. We've had regular imports of cases to this country and others. It just seems to have taken a different route this time.
Okay,
I just wanted to point out, too, that the U.S. has previously had monkeypox. There was an outbreak of monkeypox in 2003 that was associated with imported exotic pets. So there are ways, naturally, that monkeypox can get into other populations and then begin to spread. So we do have some experience with that in the U.S. with that 2003 outbreak.
Great. And my follow-up, just quickly, if you don't mind. I'm speaking to you from South Florida. We have a potential case of it in Broward County, Florida. How long does it take to get that confirmation or a pretty good idea that is what it is? I know the patient is isolated and the contact tracing is being done, but the lab work, how long does it take to get that completed, and what would be an acceptable time period for that?
The laboratory tests that are being applied to suspected monkeypox patients are actually pretty quick laboratory tests. They're PCR tests, which can take a couple of hours to run. And from the time that CDC gets a specimen to we could use our monkeypox confirmatory PCR test, likely the same day. We've been seeing turnaround of a couple days, really, from the time a suspect patient might come to a doctor's attention to they can get that initial state LRN laboratory result.
Next question, please.
That is from Helen Bronswell with STAT. Your line is open.
Hi. Thanks very much for taking my question. I'm wondering, Dr. McQuiston, if you can tell us what CDC knows about how far back these cases might have been occurring in people. There's been a lot of attention focused on some festivals in Spain in early May, but at least one of the Montreal cases had an onset date in April, and I'm wondering if there are onset dates from before then. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Helen. I can tell you that most of our information is coming from the cases that we have within the United States, and some of those individuals reported onset in early May and travel at the end of April. So that precedes some of the festivals, I think, that you're referencing that happened in mid-May in Europe. It suggests it's been circulating for a couple weeks, perhaps a couple months or longer, but I think we're in the early phase of the investigation, and hopefully as we get more information from cases, we'll be able to piece together a more complete picture.
And that's why we're on the phone with you today, is because we're concerned enough with the pace at which new cases are developing worldwide that we want to raise everyone's attention and be very vigilant so we can try and control this as quickly as possible.
Next question, please.
That comes from Leanne Winnick with CBS News. Your line is open.
Hello. Kind of a two-part question. Number one, if people think that they may have monkeypox, do they need to go to a special facility? Would they need to get treatment in a certain hospital with certain capabilities? And secondly, as far as images on the CDC website and in general stock footage, there's a wide range of monkeypox examples. Do you have something specific, that is publishable of the current outbreak, how it looks kind of maybe, I know it's in the groin area, but if there's some other part or some kind of photo that we could put up on television to show people what to look for so it's not mistaken for another kind of rash. Thank you.
Thanks for that. I'm going to let John take the first response.
Sure. And again, I just want to make sure I heard your first question correctly, which was if people think they have illness, do they have to go somewhere special? This is a disease that we're asking frontline providers to be vigilant for because it can be managed and diagnosed in a general physician's office using routine standard precautions. So the PPE you would use in any circumstance that you're encountering someone with a disease you may not recognize. So gloves, nowadays that would include an N95 respirator, face covering, and potentially also a gown if you're going to have particularly close contact with the person. We have instructions on our website for folks who encounter what they think might be a case on how to collect specimens and to arrange to have those shipped to a laboratory for proper evaluation. You can contact your local health department for more information about how that might work within your state or county. You know, one thing I want to say about how the disease presents, these lesions have been, and these rashes have been sort of very a little atypical, I would say, than what we expect. Some of them have presented in one case. A doctor thought the person had very severe herpes at first and didn't immediately think, oh, could this be monkeypox? This is why we recommend that all people encountering someone with a new rash or a disease that could be monkeypox get a good travel history and a sexual history, because that might cause your mind to think, huh, this could be monkeypox, you know. Louis Pasteur famously said, chance favors the prepared mind. What we want people to do is to be thinking that this is something that they want to be paying attention to and then know how to work out.
And then I'll answer the second part of your question. We are actively working to get a group of photos up on the web that clinicians can use to help differentiate the rash. If folks who are on the call today are looking for a photo, email the press office, and we will try to provide one available to press.
Next question, please.
Next question is from Liz Szabo with Kaiser Health News. Your line is open.
Hi. I was wondering how this spreads in terms of the symptom progression. Can people be asymptomatic and or pre-symptomatic and spread this, or is this spreading only once people actually have the lesions?
Thanks for that question. People are considered potentially infectious while they're ill, during their period of illness. Traditionally, we think of monkeypox as starting with a fever and not feeling well and progressing to rash, but in some of the cases that are being reported, the rash has appeared first. I think anytime there's a rash present, a person should be considered potentially infectious.
Right.
Could they be infectious when they just have the fever before the rash develops?
It's a good question. A lot of times what we're worried about in that pre-rash period is if maybe they have lesions in their throat or their mouth, and so those lesions could potentially be infectious even though you don't have a visible rash on your body. But it really is the lesions that is the source of virus.
Right. I mean, people are – the most infectious aspect of this disease are those lesions on the skin. They carry the most virus, but there is concern that as people do develop this what's called often a prodrome, so these early symptoms of flu-like illness. I just also want to point out that this is very different than COVID. COVID is sore throat, cough, you know, upper respiratory. This is more flu-like, a different kind of a prodrome.
Next question, please.
The next question is from Mike Ehrman with Reuters. Your line is open.
Hi. Two quick questions. One, I wanted to clarify how many doses of the vaccine that can prevent monkeypox are available in the national stockpile. I believe HHS has said enough for all Americans, but President Biden said last night that there was enough for everyone who needs it. I just wanted to clarify that. And the other question is, what sort of efforts are you making to spread awareness ahead of Pride next month? What sort of information are you sharing who with, and what precautions are you suggesting people take?
Thanks for that. I'm going to take the first part of the question on vaccine availability. We have a good stock of vaccine. We've been preparing for the possibility of needing to use it for smallpox, and we have something called the Strategic National Stockpile that has invested resources and energy into making sure that we have adequate stocks of vaccine. There are two vaccines that could potentially be used to treat and prevent monkeypox in people who may have had contact with a monkeypox patient. Sorry, I should not have said treat. Those vaccines are available in different levels. One of them is called Genios, and that is a two-dose vaccine. And right now we have over 1,000 doses of that available, and we expect that level to ramp up very quickly in the coming weeks as the company provides more doses to us. The second vaccine is called ACAM2000, and we have, I think it's over 1 million doses, isn't it? 100 million? 100 million doses of ACAM2000. ACAM2000 is an older generation smallpox vaccine that has some potential significant side effects with it. So a decision to use that widely would have to have some serious discussion behind it. And I think right now we are hoping to maximize vaccine distribution to those that we know would benefit from it. So those are people who've had contact with a known monkeypox patient, healthcare workers, very close personal contacts, and those in particular who might be at high risk for severe disease.
And your second question was, what are we doing to ensure with the upcoming Pride that people are aware of what's going on? And the first part of that is we're having this conference call today, because today is Monday. Pride really kicks off this coming Friday with the Memorial Day weekend and then throughout the rest of the summer. After this call, we'll be working with our communicators in the agency's Division of HIV Prevention and in the Division of STD Prevention, where we have extensive experience communicating with these kinds of audiences through a variety of different media, pushing out information through media sources, through allied organizations and institutions. We're looking at getting some of these apps that people meet on lined up, and we look forward to any questions these organizations have that can be relayed to our communications division so that we can ensure the right messaging is getting out.
Next question, please.
Next question is from Krista Maher with Politico. Your line is open.
So much. Great. Actually, one of the questions I had was a follow-up from your last answer. So have the contacts in, like, Europe and the U.S., with confirmed cases, been given that first vaccine that you mentioned? I think you called it Genos. And then my second question is just to try to kind of characterize the risk. You know, this has obviously become quite a big story for a relatively small amount of cases in the United States. And Biden did say yesterday that it was something everybody should be concerned about. Is that a statement that you agree with? How do you characterize how people should be thinking about their risk right now? Thank you.
Thank you so much. I can report that there has been a request for release of the Genios vaccine from the national stockpile. For some of the high-risk contacts of some of the early patients, so that is actively happening right now. And then in terms of characterizing the risk, you know, I think like many of you, we have a strong scientific concern that monkeypox is a little different spreading this way than we've seen before. But in terms of a public health concern, you're right to note that there are really only a handful of cases being seen in the United States right now. We're actively doing surveillance to try to track them and make sure that we're capturing cases. Right now, the case count is low. So I don't think that there's a great risk to the general community from monkeypox right now in the United States. I think that we need to pay close attention to the communities in which this might be circulating so that we can communicate effectively with them and help bring this outbreak under control.
That's right, and reassure them that we want to help do contact tracing to limit the spread. So to please, again, thank people for coming forward and encourage people to seek care if they think they may have been exposed or developed lesions that look like they might be monkeypox.
Next question, please.
That comes from Ping Huang with NPR. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I have a follow-up on the vaccinations, which is to sort of get a clarification on the approach to vaccinations. Like, you know, the UK is describing their approach as ring vaccination strategy. So is that what you're talking about when you talk about vaccinating close contacts? And also, does, you know, do the vaccines work as a prophylaxis if someone's already exposed? Like, how long does it take for someone to be protected from a vaccine against the monkeypox?
Thanks for those questions. The vaccine, we have varying data on how vaccines work as post-exposure prophylaxis. We know that ACAM2000 has been shown to be effective in preventing disease if given to people soon after they've been exposed to a monkeypox patient. Genios is a newer vaccine, and we lack a lot of good data on it, but our animal model data suggests that it can have a good, robust immune response very quickly after one dose. But as licensed, it needs two doses. So we have to weigh all of those things when we're thinking about which vaccine is best for a patient, and that's a decision made with the clinician and the patient. I'm sorry, what was the other question?
Oh, I was asking if you could sort of clarify whether you're recommending a ring vaccination strategy. That's something that we've heard in context of the UK's approach to the outbreak.
Sure. Ring vaccination is a term I think that people are familiar with from the Ebola response, and I know that they're using it in the UK. We're not typically using it here in the United States, although the strategy that we're employing is very similar to what they're calling a ring vaccination strategy. We're vaccinating contacts of known cases if they fall into a high-risk category and warrant vaccine.
Next question, please.
That comes from Senate Naropil with Washington Post. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you for doing this call. So it seems like a lot of these cases in who have sex with men are linked to specific events in Europe. So does this merit heightened scrutiny of men who have sex with men in the United States if they aren't linked to this event, or are you seeing evidence of spread in this community for people who weren't linked to some of these super spreaders?
Thanks for that question. We'll know more about any potential links between the cases being diagnosed in this country and any of these other events shortly as the investigation proceeds. I don't think we have all of that information yet. And you're right, we do know that some of these cases that have been reported from particularly Portugal, Spain, and the UK have been associated with some group events that occurred in parts of Europe, both Spain, I think also in Belgium. But I guess what I would say is this. You know, this is a virus that could affect anyone. If you are going out and going to be gathering with other, if you're a man who has sex with men, you're going to be going out and gathering with other men, to be cognizant of the fact that if you're feeling ill and you have a rash, might be a good time to step back. And if you, after an event, find that you are a person who has developed some symptoms or a rash that's suspicious, you think, for possible monkeypox, to seek evaluation. I don't think at the present time there is sufficient evidence of spread occurring so rapidly that we want to shut down any events or recommend that things be postponed. On the contrary, what we want to do is empower people to take the initiative to hold themselves back from participating if they're feeling ill, and to also seek evaluation if, as a result of attending something, they might feel ill.
Next question, please.
Next question is from Karen Weintraub with USA Today. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks so much. I just wanted a few clarifications on the vaccine. Do we know with Genios what the side effects are, if any? I know that ACAM2000 has a lot of, I think it's a 1 in a million risk of death. So I'm presuming that this is not that dangerous, but any more details you can provide about that. And also, if there are any details about whether you think this virus might have changed in some way to make it easier for person-to-person transmission. Thanks.
Thanks. I'm going to answer the second part of your question first. Right now, we're not seeing any evidence that this virus has changed to become more efficiently transmitted person-to-person. The sequence data looks very similar to data that we've seen out of West Africa in the past. But again, we're in the early phases of this investigation, and we will likely learn more as we get more sequence data from more patients. For the second part of your question, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Brett Peterson, who has been working with our medical countermeasures and can answer the vaccine question.
Great. Thank you for your question. With regards to safety for the vaccines that we are using in this response, there are certainly different vaccines with different properties and characteristics. And ACAM2000 is a, they're both live virus vaccines, but ACAM2000 is also a replicating vaccine. And with that, it does carry some risk of severe adverse events, in particular in patients with certain conditions like immunocompromise or atopic dermatitis. In contrast, Jynneos is a non-replicating vaccine, and so there isn't the risk for these severe adverse events where you have uncontrolled replication of the virus. And it has actually been studied in persons with HIV and atopic dermatitis and shown to be safe in those populations. So there's certainly a difference in safety between these two vaccines based on their properties.
Next question, please.
That is from Ronnie Rabin with New York Times. Your line is open.
Thank you. You stated fever and rash, but can there be other symptoms? Can this become life-threatening? There are some strains. There's some information that can be deadly in 10% of cases. So I was hoping you could address that, and particularly with regard to potentially immunocompromised people or more vulnerable individuals. Thank you.
Thank you. There are additional symptoms that can occur with monkeypox in addition to fever and rash. One of the ones that we typically think of is swollen lymph nodes is a characteristic feature. You know, these rash lesions can also appear in parts of the body that can cause serious complications. So if the rash lesion occurs in the eye, for example, that person might have their vision endangered. If the lymph nodes become so swollen that, you know, breathing is compromised, that's a concern. There are some other more unusual complications that I can let Brett talk about, but I do want to emphasize those are rare. They're not the more common presentation. And from what we've been seeing in the outbreak reported in Europe and even in the cases here in the U.S., these are mild and appear to be primarily self-limiting.
Yeah, so I'll just add that, you know, we are concerned about the possibility of severe disease in certain populations, for example, those with immunocompromise or other skin conditions that might lend a worse prognosis. Luckily, we do have antivirals that are available for treatment, which can be used in persons that we think may be at higher risk for severe disease or have severe disease already. So we're fortunate that we do have multiple countermeasures that can be used in this outbreak.
Can you just elaborate on what you mean by skin conditions? People with pre-existing skin conditions?
Pre-existing skin conditions like atopic dermatitis or eczema have shown to be high risk for severe disease in persons with other orthopoxvirus infections and may also be with monkeypox virus infections as well.
And John, do you want to comment on advanced HIV?
Right. I think when we talk about MSM, some people also think about HIV, and the data on what we know about people with HIV and monkeypox is very limited. I think for people who are, have been diagnosed or doing well on therapy and have a robust CD4 cell count and have suppressed their viral load, they're probably at the same level of risk as anybody else. But there is a study published about 15 years ago that looked at a small number of patients with very severe advanced immunosuppression. And in those persons, they had more prolonged illness, developed larger lesions, and it took longer for them to stop shedding virus. They also tended to have more bacterial infections of the lesion that the monkeypox virus has caused. And this is not a surprise. This is kind of what we expect with people who are immunocompromised, that it will take them longer to bring something under control. But it's another reason why, if you're a person who may be at risk due to a weakened immune system, to be particularly careful about seeking out early care and evaluation.
Next question, please.
Next question is from Sonny Salzman with ABC. Your line is open.
Hi there. Thanks so much for taking my question. I'm wondering, a two-parter here, if you could confirm where the four presumptive or suspected cases are from, which states. And then also, does the CDC have any theories or kind of top contenders about, what it is that characterizes this outbreak that caused so much undetected spread to happen so quickly? You mentioned that there's no indication that this virus is more transmissible, but are there other potential reasons? Thank you.
Certainly. I can share where the orthopox confirmed cases have been reported from, that are specimens are still being sent to CDC for monkeypox confirmatory testing, but we're presuming these are monkeypox. So in addition to the monkeypox confirmed case in Massachusetts, we have an orthopox confirmed case in New York City. We have one in Florida, and we have two in Utah.
Next question, please.
Oh, wait. There was a second part to that question. Do we have any theories that characterize why this outbreak is happening now and in this fashion?
Well, I think back about the prairie dog outbreak, where you had a sort of a super spreader event among a bunch of prairie dogs that were then shipped out and shared with a lot of people. And some of the events that have been described where MSM gather may have served the purpose of increasing the likelihood of exposure and more rapid spread. And it's another reason for us to want to really rapidly bring people's attention to this risk so that folks are aware and they can take action appropriately.
Next question, please.
Up next is Liz Heilemann with PAWS Magazine. Your line is open.
Thank you. I'm wondering if you could say a little bit more about the demographics of the cases. I know the Massachusetts case was a man who had a history of travel to Canada. Can you say anything about the confirmed orthopox cases?
Sure. So the confirmed orthopox cases that we have had reported in the United States have reported a history of international travel. So to date, the cases that have been reported to CDC are travel associated outside the U.S. Thank you.
Yeah. Are they all men?
They are all men, but we're not delving further into that due to patient confidentiality.
Next question,
please.
Sorry. Karen Landman with Vox.com. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my question. I'd like to know what you think the likelihood of transmission to and virulence among pets, including cats and dogs, and other companion animals or wild animals in urban, peri-urban, and rural areas is, and whether there are concerns that widespread transmission could lead to developing a new animal reservoir for this virus in Europe or the U.S.
Thanks for that question. I'm actually a veterinarian, so I appreciate that question. So monkeypox is a zoonotic virus, meaning that it starts in animals, usually an animal. We don't actually know what the animal reservoir is definitively yet. It's suspected to be a rodent in West Africa or Central Africa that can jump into people through a spillover event and then can have some transmission person to person. And so clearly the initial event of this particular outbreak and strain was some kind of spillover event, but we're now seeing it spread person to person. Whether this virus poses a risk to pets is, I think, a question. While we don't have all the answers, I don't think it poses a high risk to pets. During the monkeypox outbreak in 2003, we did do extensive testing of a lot of different animal species, and we did not see spread during that outbreak, for example, to domestic pets. But I think this is an area we're going to continue to watch carefully. Whether this could introduce a new animal reservoir into the United States, I mean, that is certainly something we considered and thought about during the 2003 outbreak. In that outbreak, there were animals infected with monkeypox that were in many people's households, and we did not see it become endemic or enzootic in pet populations then. So I think while we continue to watch, our 2003 outbreak gives us data to not be as worried. Next question, please.
That comes from Rick Sobey with Boston Herald. Your line is open.
Thank you for having me. Regarding the patient in Massachusetts, what have you and the Massachusetts Department of Public Health learned through the contact tracing of that patient, and how many people may have been exposed in the local area?
So the Massachusetts Department of Health is the entity that's doing the primary work with the patient and doing the contact tracing investigations. They have shared with us that they're tracking over 200 contacts, but the vast majority of them are healthcare workers. And they're helping use a table that CDC has published on our website, a tiered table to figure out what level of risk that they have. There are some also personal contacts, but again, the number we're reporting out is over 200 contacts for that patient. Is there a follow-up question? Okay, next question, please.
Thank you. That comes from John Cohen with Science. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Can you explain briefly why the PCR primers aren't specific for monkeypox, given that those exist, why they need to send samples to CDC for confirmation? And also, I'm curious how you see the first case reported, which was an export from Nigeria, having potentially confused things, because that case hasn't been linked to any other cases, and it also, timing-wise, seems to indicate that there was a spread without that case being introduced.
Thanks for those questions. So why orthopox virus testing first? That's part of our smallpox preparedness plan here in the United States, that we work to get these tests established at the state laboratory response networks in order to be able to rapidly do a preliminary test if they have a patient that's presenting with suspicious rash illness that could be a smallpox rollout. Because smallpox is a virus that we don't necessarily want handled in the general lab space, if there's an indication that it's smallpox, we want that very quickly to be transferred to the CDC. That's why the confirmatory testing was set up to be at CDC. While that system wasn't put in place specifically to detect monkeypox virus outbreaks, it is useful to detect them, and it is useful in this particular setting. So the two-step process is initial orthopox virus testing at the LRN lab, and that is enough to really launch patient care and treatment options and also begin contact tracing. And then we're asking states to also send specimens to CDC for further characterization, in order for us to have the type of sequence data that we can share globally to help put these the pieces of this puzzle together.
And I think it would be, is it fair to say that then in this circumstance, an orthopox diagnosis at the LRN is monkeypox until proven otherwise?
Yes.
And that then brings the sample to us so that we can do the genetic sequencing and get that out rapidly to share worldwide?
Yes, that is actually a very good way of looking at it, Dr. Brooks. The other question, I think, was the first case exported out of Nigeria that was reported by the UK, how did that cloud or confuse the timing? You know, I think it did. It generated a lot of questions, and there was confusion that they thought that the subsequent cases were linked to that
right.
traveler, but they weren't.
I mean, I think we have two parallel things that were going on, that there were these there's a regular, we regularly have cases come out of Nigeria to other countries around the world, and including the United States. This one case showed up in, I want to say, was it April? Earlier, sometime this spring,
in the
UK.
Mm-hmm.
Followed then by
a traveler
associated case, and then these other cases that now seem, where there seems to be a predominance of gay and bisexual men. But we don't think that, there's no evidence at the present time, according to the UK Health Security Agency, UKHSA, they are not seeing any links between those cases in the course of their investigation.
So I would say that the travel-associated case is just one more travel-associated case that matches many that we've seen over the last several years. And then the outbreak that's happening without that travel link is something different now that might be linked to each other, but not to that one travel case.
Next question, please.
That comes from Tom Howell with The Washington Times. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for doing the call. I believe the Massachusetts case, the person that traveled to Canada recently, you might have said it, and maybe I didn't hear it, but can you explain whether there was travel history with the New York case, the Florida case, and the two Utah cases, and if so, where they traveled? Thank you.
I am aware that the Massachusetts patient has been reported publicly as having traveled to Canada. We're not revealing where the other patients traveled to, just for patient confidentiality, but the travel that they reported is consistent with the types of travel and exposures that are being reported globally.
Next question, please.
Next question is from Madison Mueller with Weinberg News. Your line is open.
Hi, yeah, this is Madison from Bloomberg News. There are two antivirals that are approved for smallpox, Tembexa and TPOX, and I was just wondering if either of those have been shown to work against monkeypox and if those are things that you all are considering in your response. Thank you.
Thanks for that. I'm going to let, again, Dr. Brett Peterson answer the antiviral question.
Sure. So Tecovirimat, or TPOX, is an antiviral that has been approved by the FDA for treatment of smallpox. The CDC does hold an expanded access investigational new drug protocol to allow the use of this product for the treatment of monkeypox as well. The data that was used to support its licensure for smallpox would also support its use for the treatment of monkeypox. So we are developing treatment guidance to help public health authorities and clinicians determine who would benefit most from treatment with this drug. With regards to brincidofovir, you're correct. This has also been FDA licensed for treatment of smallpox. The Strategic National Stockpile is in the process of negotiating with the manufacturer for the procurement of this product for the National Stockpile. And we are also working here at CDC to develop a similar emergency access investigational new drug protocol to allow the use of brincidofovir for the treatment of monkeypox as well.
Denise, we have time for two more questions.
Thank you. Up is Tina Say with Science News. Your line is open.
Hi. I just wanted to follow up on the antiviral question. Can you give us some indication of how those antivirals work? Like, what is the target? And is there any data to suggest that they are, in fact, effective against monkeypox?
Sure. So starting with Tecovirimat, its mechanism of action is it prevents the egress of the virus from cells so that the virus is actually not replicating within your body and spreading from cell to cell and causing disease. In terms of the evidence that we have to support its use for monkeypox, we have very limited experience of actually using this product in humans. There has been a clinical study where infected individuals in the Central African Republic have received TPOX for the treatment of monkeypox. However, this has not yet been published, and we don't have the full details of outcomes in those cases. So we also have to rely on, again, the animal model studies that have evaluated TPOX in different animal species infected with monkeypox. And this data does support the use of TPOXX for treatment of monkeypox. With regards to brincidofovir, it has a different mechanism of action. It's actually a nucleotide analog that inhibits the viral polymerase so that the virus is not able to replicate in cells, and that is how it prevents virus replication and spread and disease.
And the last question.
And does it work against monkeypox?
In terms of effectiveness of brincidofovir, there is similar animal model data looking at different animal species with different orthopoxvirus infections that are treated with brincidofovir, again, showing some efficacy across the orthopoxvirus genus for treatment of disease.
Last question.
Today's last question comes from Erin Billups with Spectrum News. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my question. It's sort of a follow-up on the mutation question. Is there anything more interesting about this strain that you could share? I know, I think it was Dr. Brooks who mentioned the rash appears to be a little bit different, easily confused with STDs. And also, the CDC says that monkeypox can be transmitted through close contacts, through respiratory droplets. You know, I think people have a little bit of PTSD from the coronavirus pandemic. At the beginning, there was a lot of talk of, oh, it's only spread through these large droplets, close contact. Is there a possibility that this virus, monkeypox, could mutate into something more transmissible, more airborne?
Thanks for those questions. In terms of is there anything unusually interesting about this particular virus?
Right. Let me,
monkeypox is pretty interesting in and of itself, but this particular strain, I don't know that we would say that there is.
Yeah, I don't think that so much that this strain is producing a different rash, but rather that this is showing up in different parts of the body than we typically expect to see it. But when it does migrate, and you know, this is a disease that people ultimately it can get rash all over their body, then they start to develop lesions that can be quite characteristic of what you'd see with monkeypox. So what we're trying to do by bringing attention to the fact that some of these cases have had a genital or perianal presentation is just to remind people that these people may come in for evaluation of what they think is an STD, but we'd like the provider to think, could it be monkeypox as well, if the circumstances fit the story. And then
with respect to, you know, respiratory transmission, I mean, I think this is a very common question and worry that people have, but I want to point out that there have been 9 travel-associated cases of monkeypox of travelers that left Nigeria. They flew on airplanes for long periods of time, and multiple contacts from those patients were followed up, and we're not aware of any monkeypox cases that spread from them. It's an illustration that this is not an easily transmissible virus through respiratory droplets and things like that. We talk about it because the possibility of it is there. We typically think about that as lesions in the mouth and throat, putting virus in the air and traveling on small droplets, short distances. This is not COVID. I know that early in COVID, we had not a lot of information, and things changed as we learned more. We do know a lot about monkeypox from many decades of studying it, and respiratory spread is not the predominant worry. It is contact, an intimate contact in the current outbreak setting and population, and that's really what we want to emphasize and hope that we can count on media to help us amplify that message.
Thank you to Dr. McQuiston and Dr. Brooks, and thank you all for joining us. If you have further questions, please call the main media line at 404-639-3286, or you can email media@cdc.gov. You can also visit www.cdc.gov/monkeypox. This will conclude our call.
Thank you. That does conclude today's conference, and thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time.